Soykle. Everything is on demand now. But there's something about that appointment watching of HBO that's still there.
It's also called the art of the tease, and that's how they get you.
I'm trying to think, what's my tease for tomorrow?
Kristen sets herself on fire. Tune in at 11:20, and then we'll tell you why.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Hello, Wisconsin. Welcome to the Friday lunch hour of As Goes Wisconsin. We still have two more hours of fun planned for you today, including some Brewers tickets that we're giving away later in the show. But first, you know, one of the cool things about having the UW system and also having UW-Madison, which is one of the top research universities in the country, is that there's some really interesting research that happens and comes out. And there's studies that you get wind of that's happening right in our backyard. And you're like, well, that sounds pretty cool. And so today we're going to be talking to someone who is part of a study that is looking for a cure for a cocaine addiction. And one, it's an important thing to learn about. But two, they also are studying mice as far as the initial looking into what the causes, I guess, the addiction. And so Vanessa Sprondio is a PhD professor of medical microbiology and immunology and the department chair at University of Wisconsin-Madison School of Medicine and Public Health. And you have been part of this research, and I'm so excited to get more information about it. Welcome to the show, Vanessa.
Thank you.
So,
thank you for having me.
Yes, of course. So before we jump into the study, I was reading your bio on your UW professor page, and I was joking with Jane that there is a lot of words that I don't know what they mean as far as being five syllables and science related. And so how would you describe your specialty and what you've, you know, dedicated your career researching?
So what my career research has focused on is how bacteria that live in your gut, okay, because you have a lot of them there, and they're very important, and there's more bacterial cells in your gut, in your body, than you have human cells.
Okay.
And how this bacteria kind of work with you as a multi-organism situation, and they affect the way your brain functions. And at the same time, they're able to read how your brain has these chemicals that fire back and adapt towards that. And that's how this whole cocaine addiction study started.
So when I hear terms like microbiome and like balancing the bacteria in your gut, that's basically it's not addiction. It's your gut that you've always been focused on.
Yes. And I think we appreciate now that this microbiome in your gut is really important for your physiology in multiple levels.
Yeah.
It's important for your metabolism, and it's important for your mental health. And what we started studying is that it also affects addiction behaviors. And you can have different outcomes depending on which bacteria you have in there.
Which is so fascinating, because I feel like whenever we think about addictive personality, sometimes the conventional wisdom is like, oh, like you're predetermined because of your brain chemistry to have an addictive personality, or there's just something about the drug itself. But what's interesting about what you guys are finding is that it's actually like bacteria in your gut, right? It's like it's what you ended up finding was it's kind of connected to like E. coli, right?
Yes. So what we found out was that if you have a lot of E. coli in your gut, everybody has E. coli in the gut,
yeah.
Okay? But if you have an excessive amount of it, they change the composition of the chemistry in your gut in a certain way that you lose this amino acid called glycine. And when you lose that, if you have lower levels of that amino acid in your gut, it also diminishes the levels in your brain, and that enhances addiction behaviors towards cocaine. And the fun fact is, glycine is made from sarcosine. And sarcosine is a supplement that you can go to GNC and buy.
Really?
Actually, a lot of athletes use that as a nutritional supplement.
Vanessa, I don't know why I assumed, because every individual is different, but I just kind of always assumed that we all had the same kind of bacteria floating around in our gut.
No, actually, each one of us have a very defined gut, a very defined population of gut bacteria to the level that it's a fingerprint.
Huh.
Each human being have their own fingerprint.
That's so fascinating.
I had no idea. And again, I don't know why I made the assumption that we're all exactly the same, because obviously we're not. but when it comes to inner workings like that, that's just really fascinating.
So then with the study, you were basically looking at, so it's basically your propensity to be addicted to cocaine can be tracked to the balance of what your gut is. And so if that theory is you transition it to test on humans, because as we said, this has mostly been on mice so far, right?
Yes, just on mice so far.
And so is the theory then extended to thinking that with certain supplements that would balance your gut, you'd be less susceptible to this one specifically for cocaine, but is that kind of what the theory leads to?
That's the theory, because with drug addiction, unfortunately, we don't have a lot of great treatments, right?
Yeah.
So what everybody's trying to do is to find ways in which you can decrease the addiction behavior. And this is a possibility, okay? As you mentioned, this was done in mice.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know how it translates to humans,
because
humans and mice are different. But that's the idea in the end of the day, that we could probably use something as simple as a supplement like sarcosine or glycine, which are amino acids, which you can just buy, and they're not toxic or anything, and that might help.
Absolutely. We're talking to Vanessa Sperandio, who is a professor of medical microbiology and immunology at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. And to start with cocaine? Because do you suspect that is other addictions also could be tied to your gut? Or what was it specific of starting with this drug for this research versus opioids or drinking or something else that is a substance that people abuse?
So there are other groups looking at other addictive type of drugs. Okay, there is quite a lot of work being done with opioids, and people are looking at alcohol. But what started us with cocaine was it was serendipity. My group has shown a long time ago that bacteria, especially E. coli, sense adrenaline, your gut, to expand and bloom and colonize. And my postdoctoral fellow, Santiago Cuesta, who is the first author in this manuscript, he is a neuroscientist who studied addiction. And we met in a meeting, started talking, and decided that, hey, why not try cocaine? Cocaine increases the levels of noradrenaline,
yeah,
right? So let's see what happens. And we first started just looking to see what happens to E. coli when you gave cocaine to it. But then we started looking at the behaviors of the mice. And if they had a lot of E. coli, all of the cocaine addiction behaviors were enhanced. And we could fix that by giving glycine or sarcosine back, or colonizing the gut with bacteria who could not use that.
So now I have to go into my immature questions.
That's fine.
Because I need to know what a coked up mouse acts like.
Amazingly enough, not that different from a coked up human being.
Just grinding their jaw and thinking they're invincible.
What we do, well, it's hard to see that, right? So what they do is we look at them running around in the cage.
Yeah.
So normally they would just like run normal in the cage, right? If you give cocaine, they go berserk.
Oh my gosh.
They go like, zoo. And what we have is just, we have lasers in this cages that measures their running.
Yeah.
The other behavior that we look for is seeking drug. So the coked up mice, they actually go to seek the place where we give them cocaine.
Yeah.
Even when we stop giving them cocaine, they develop a preference to go find cocaine, like you try to go to your buyer, right?
Because that is, I mean, because that is the, not assumption, that is what happens when, like, it is the going back to the bathroom. It is going back to the, like, yes, the party drug that drug is. And you have a little bit, and then you have a little bit more, and you have a little bit more. And so it's so fascinating that same behavior is, you go, like, the mice go back to the spot where they got it in the first place, whether or not it's there.
Yes, they keep going to the same spot where they used to get cocaine, trying to get cocaine.
Oh, it's so
fascinating. The third thing that we can do is we get them to self-administrate cocaine. So that there are some cages that have like a little lever that they can inject themselves. And yeah, they inject themselves.
Okay, so Jane, I have so many questions.
So they're not wearing sunglasses hanging out in clubs. I just have this vision of like a little mouse house party.
No.
Just smoking down parliaments.
No, they're just running around like, I don't know if...
Like my son Cole.
That cage is a club.
So then the other really immature question, how does, as a professional research university, how do you guys go about getting cocaine for research purposes?
Actually, you buy them from Sigma, which is where we buy all of our chemicals from. But, of course, you have to get clearance for that.
Of course.
So we got interviewed by two DEA officers for 2 hours.
Oh, my gosh.
After we filled up all of the paperwork, they wanted to be sure that, you know, we were using that for research only. And every little bit of cocaine that we use has to be logged in on how much we took it, how much we gave it to the mice, and the things have to match up, right? So it's very well regulated.
Yes, yeah. No, of course, but it's...
don't call Cigna and say you're doing a mouse experiment and you need coke. It's probably not going to end well.
Yes, you're probably not going to get clearance.
Yeah.
Well, they're not going to sell it to you.
No. So I guess, but back to a serious question, where does the research go from here as far as what you found in this first round of study with the mice? What is kind of the next step for the team?
So the research that we want to do is, like, we want to look at other bacteria that are normally in your gut to see if there are some that actually are protective and not will induce your behavior.
Yeah. I just timed this wrong. I'm going to have to cut you off because we're going to go to commercial.
Sure,
but Vanessa, this was so interesting. And so I'm going to put all the study information on there. But thank you so much for joining us.
You are listening to As Goes Wisconsin, a product of Civic Media. Enjoy it live across Wisconsin, Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. until 2 p.m. Find your local station on our website, civicmedia.us, or on the Civic Media app, and catch any of your favorite shows as a podcast wherever you listen.
Coked up mice is now my favorite thing to think about.
She was so interesting.
She was so interesting. And I love getting people who like the, because I'm trying to think a little bit while ago, it was something about brain chemistry. We had another UW professor on that was, I'm totally forgetting what it was, but that was fascinating. And also fascinating just to learn about, you know, that there's multiple studies going on as far as like connection to addiction and your stomach instead of, I think, typically what you think of as your brain chemistry,
right,
and like,
right,
predetermined personality, you know, yeah.
Well, and now you can go out to dinner with your friends tonight and say, my gut bacteria is different than your gut bacteria.
Well, in that part, it's not that I knew it, but I had, you know, in different diet, health, wellness things that are out there. I had, there's a company called Viome, which you can test your microbiome, and then they give you a bunch of recommendations on food based on your microbiome.
Okay.
foods that are your superfoods, foods that you can enjoy, foods you should avoid, and foods that are like you should like not ever eat.
Okay.
And when I did it, some of the things that came back are things that you'd think are healthy. It's like broccoli and different things that, based on what your levels are causing inflammation. But then the thing about it is the things that are bad for everyone, no matter what your biome is like sugar and processed food and all of the crap that you're like, well, am I really going to cut that stuff down? Like, it's one thing for me to like cut out Brussels sprouts and broccoli, but if I'm still going to be eating a bag of Skittles every day, what is the point?
Kind of cancel each other out there, yeah.
But, and I had learned, and, you know, to a certain extent, I was like, how much of this is real science versus a company that's just trying to like tap into the wellness multi-billion dollar, you know, but it was interesting to find out. Cause, and then it says, if you really stick to it, I've heard, you know, there's testimony of people feeling way better and like health things, just like health issues just going away. And so much of what you eat is so tied to how you feel.
Definitely.
But it's also interesting to think that that can extend to how your likelihood to be addicted to different things, because your body is still searching for some kind of balance. And so that was really, I love the idea of just these like mice being like,
ring!
Going back to, like going back to the bathroom.
I need another one.
Bugging their friend. Like, you got it, man? You got it? Oh, this is a great Friday topic. Oh, so just a reminder that we are going to be giving away Brewers tickets. So you should stay tuned if you would like to go to Sunday's game at, it's going to be at 1:10 at American Family Field. And if you can't make the game, but you would like to listen to the game, you can always do that on Civic Media's flagship Brew Crew station, WISS Oshkosh Air Support, as well as WRCE News from the center in Richland Center. But stay tuned if you want to win those tickets. But if you already won tickets in April, hold off.
You got to wait till next month.
Yeah, wait till next month. We're almost to next month, but
trying to make it fair.
We are giving these tickets away all season long, so plenty of people have a chance to win. Do we have time to talk about the Mike Lindell thing, or should we save that for the third hour?
We've got about 3 minutes, 3.5 minutes.
We'll save that one.
All right.
Because you told me that you actually have some sound, and so I want to make sure that we have enough time to talk about Mike Lindell and his Prove Mike Wrong campaign, and then the person who did indeed prove him wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But here was another story. Did you watch Money Heist at all on Netflix?
I did not.
So Money Heist is fictional, but it was a Spanish show, and it was basically a heist, like them stealing gold from the first season of the Bank of Spain, and then they end up doing something. It was a crazy intense, but then it was taken out too long, but it's in Spanish. And the first season was excellent. You're going to binge watch the whole thing, but it was basically these like epic heist people. I don't even know what they're like.
Crooks.
Like high end thieves and stuff. But turns out that, the real life Money Heist, not in Spain, but in Canada.
Yeah. A big one, too.
I literally read this. I was like, oh, well, this is basically sounds like it could be another Money Heist, except it's going to be a lot more of Boots instead of Barcelona. But police announced that nearly $15 million in gold. And the thing about gold, what I learned from watching that show, it's not easy to move.
It's really heavy.
It's really, really heavy.
Yes.
It's not like just like bundles of cash.
It's heavy.
And so nearly $15 million in gold and other valuable items were stolen from a cargo holding facility at Toronto's Pearson Airport on Monday. And Pearson is Canada's busiest airport. And the gold mined in northern Ontario typically flows through it. So the heist is now one of the largest in Canada's history. And I haven't heard any more details of like how they pulled it off. But just reading that this morning, it just made me think of that show of the planning and the meticulous, everything has to go right. I want to know how many people were involved. I want to know if there was like sexual triangles that were happening between the main characters.
Wow, that just jumped off in a different area. I'm thinking it was an inside job. You got to have somebody on the inside, Kristen.
Always got to have somebody on the inside.
Yeah, it makes it easy. Makes it flow.
But I feel like once you steal $15 million worth of gold, like how do you cash that in?
Yeah, that's going to be tricky.
It's one thing. It's like one thing to have it, but like, you can't just go to a pawn shop, and people are going to be looking for missing gold. Yeah. Like you can't just like legal tender. You can start buying things with.
Take it. Don't take it to Walgreens. They're probably not going to cash it.
But all right. So I just thought that was a fun story. But maybe who knows? Maybe it will turn into Money Heist Canada edition. But
call me Canada. I have theories.
All right, when we come back, Representative Robin Viney will be here. Stick around. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinere. And I got a message over the weekend from our next guest letting me know about some bills that are going to be voted on. Well, maybe that sounds like maybe not next week anymore, right? Representative Robin Viney?
Well, hello.
Welcome to the show.
I'm super happy to be here. Thank you for having me. We actually are. I listened to that segment earlier with Jesse. We actually are in next week. I understand her confusion. We are not in twice. So they pulled back on the second day. So they had had us on a hold for Tuesday and Thursday, and they canceled the Thursday hold. So we are in on Tuesday. We're in on Tuesday, just not on Thursday.
So you're in on Tuesday, and you had told me that there are, I think you actually tweeted this out. After not hearing a single bill for the last 3.5 months, Republicans chose to hear a bill to kick people off Medicaid, to kick people when they're down. And so what is this bill? What are some of the other bills? Because I feel like I've gotten kind of like a spattering of headlines when it comes to Medicaid, unemployment, basically trying to get Wisconsin back to work, despite the fact that our unemployment rate is 2.5%.
2.5%, record low as of what, yesterday?
Yeah.
Is that right? Yes. So, I mean, top line, this is an attempt to kick people off of Medicaid faster. This is the working poor population that is working and relying on Medicaid for healthcare. And this is unemployed people. And instead of talking about things that, guess what, everybody else is talking about, like access to affordable childcare, we're doing this. And so, yes, after 3.5 months, I serve on 5 committees. This is actually in 3.5 months, the first day that I had any of my 5 committees hear any bills at all. So first day hearing bills, this is what we were doing. Yeah.
Wow. So does that mean that some of the other stuff that's been introduced just isn't in your committees? So that's why you have because there's other stuff that has been talked about and like the reckless driving.
Yeah. So I'd say it's very slow. It's been a very slow year. It appeared the Republicans really didn't want to do much in January or February or March leading up to that April 4th election. And so it's been incredibly slow. Just to give you context, I serve on the committees on, this is the committee on health, aging, and long-term care that I'm talking about. I also serve on the committee on children and families. I'm the ranking member on the committee on mental health and substance use disorder. I also am a ranking member on family law, and I serve on the committee on jobs, the economy, and work, small business development. So in that world, this is the first time that we were hearing bills. And I mean, we're talking about statewide mental health crisis, statewide like staffing issues in hospitals and how that's affecting their ability to perform medical care. We're talking about the child care crisis. And quite frankly, we're talking about a maternal health crisis that we do have a bill in committee that we could hear that the Senate has already heard, expanding Medicaid from 60 days to a year for postpartum people. And we know that the maternal health crisis is spiking. It went up 40%, deaths up 40% in 2021 alone. And we have a bill to help, and it's bipartisan. It has a massive bipartisan support. They heard the bill for 3 hours in the Senate. It was exclusively supportive. That's what we could be talking about in health committee instead of kicking people off Medicaid.
Yeah.
Representative Vining, what I'm hearing you say is that after the trouncing that they got in the April 4th election, our Republican lawmakers still don't really feel like they need to respond to the needs of their constituents.
No, and it almost feels like they're doubling down. It is the strangest thing to me. I heard Jesse say earlier that when she was talking to unions, that the most common thing she was hearing was like a hope for fair maps. That mm-hmm. was like the most common thing. And that's on people on both sides of the aisle, right? And I think that really speaks to Wisconsinites and this like what is inside of us, which is a drive for fairness, mm-hmm. a value of fairness. Like, we care about fairness. Instead of like, it's my one single issue being the top thing, it's, I want a fair state. And I think Wisconsinites have just, or Republicans have just moved so far away from Wisconsinites that, and what drives people, what their values are, what they need, what they're thinking about every day, that we end up in these weird situations where you come back from an election and just show how completely disconnected you are from Wisconsinites. I mean, on Tuesday when we're voting, it is a long list of attacking the unemployed and the working poor.
So that, I guess, to go back to that, what are some of the other things that have been introduced? Because obviously we knew that this was going to be coming after the initiative, the non-binding initiative with should people who are receiving welfare be having to look for work, despite the fact that insinuated that that's basically the law already, right? And so that most people who are either unemployed or looking for work or getting Medicaid that are childless and able-bodied have to be either have a job or looking for work. And so that question is a little misleading, but now they're using that. People, so many people voted yes on that, using that as a evidence of why these bills are wanted, right?
What is the evidence that came away from that election? The evidence that came away from that election was that Wisconsinites very loudly and by double digits were very clear that they wanted fair maps and they want abortion rights. That's the loud message. The Republicans are like crawling around on the ground looking for like, is somebody saying something else? Is it possible that maybe somebody, is there someone who doesn't agree with the vast majority of Wisconsinites? These bills don't agree with the vast majority of Wisconsinites. This is, yeah.
Yeah. So then what are some of the other bills that they're talking about besides the Medicaid one?
So I just pulled up a list.
Go ahead.
It's various changes to unemployment insurance law. These were not in my committee. These are bills that we're prepping for Tuesday. Another related to insurance law. Unemployment insurance law. Workforce metrics. Various changes to the unemployment insurance law, amount of benefits received under the unemployment insurance law. So, I mean, you can kind of just, yeah, like, without getting into the weeds, stay looking. I mean, if they want to talk about unemployment, let's talk about the fact that we're at 2.5%. You've got women across the entire state of Wisconsin begging for affordable, accessible childcare. And I mean, these joint finance hearings.
Yeah.
So I watch them. I read the readouts on them afterwards. If I'm not watching them, I attended the one at Waukesha. People are there and they are talking about the need for childcare. Child care counts program and the need for accessible child care. It's kind of weird. Sometimes I feel like when we're talking about workers, it feels like we're just talking about men. And that's what it can feel like in committee. And I think we're just really not having the right conversation right now.
We're talking to Representative Robin Vining, our Wisconsin rep of Wauwatosa and West Allis in District 14. And did those It's interesting because I think Milwaukee Journal Sentinel has done multiple op-eds in the last month on childcare. It's a national problem. Mm-hmm. It's coming up in a joint finance. And I mean, this was even, I forgot exactly what the numbers were, but it was basically coming out of COVID, how many women left the workplace and did not go back during mm-hmm. COVID because the cost of childcare, the math didn't mm-hmm. math, right? As far as like the money you could make in your job compared to how much childcare was. And so being like, I'm not going to go work even though I want to work because it doesn't make sense financially for our family if I could just stay home because otherwise my salary is just going paying for childcare.
And I mean, I can speak to that personally. When my kids were real little and we could afford 2 days of childcare a week, that's what we could afford. And I needed to work more. We had to think about, well, how much childcare, like how much money can I make? And then how much does it cost to work? And I couldn't afford more than 2 days of childcare. And so I needed to increase my hours. I was a small business owner, still am a professional photographer. So I had to figure out shifts that I could work without childcare. So I worked from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. That was a regular shift for me. Then I would sleep for a little bit and I would get up in the morning and do what needed to be done and cram as much into a nap time as I possibly could, squeeze in something in the evening before my 10 to 2 a.m. shift. And I mean, I think like that was my reality. I remember what that was like. It's exhausting. And it's really real for a lot of people.
And there just seems to be such a perpetual disconnect between what the Republicans say they want and what the reality would be of actually making that happen. It's like, again, we want women who get pregnant to give birth to children, but yet we're not going to give them family leave and we're not going to set up any childcare options and we're not going to do all of these other things that would encourage these people to do what they want. And is that intentional or are they just not very bright?
Well, I mean, I think, well, elect more women.
Yes, elect more women.
And then maybe not as connected to the issue, whether that's generationally because it's been a long time since you've had children at home, or maybe you weren't a primary parent, or maybe, I don't know. I don't want to assume anything. I can say like something that I've heard various times in the Capitol, you know, when we talk about workers and needing more people, we hear things like, well, even if we started popping out babies today, and first of all, if a man says that, he's not popping out babies at all ever. And second, there's no popping out of babies. You don't just pop out babies. And I think that shows that like a disconnect from like what it really means to have a baby, what it means to be pregnant, to have a baby, to be postpartum, to endure that first year, to all those preschool years, to childcare costs, to trying to figure out how you're going to work, how you're working through all of the things that come from the early years of parenthood. And I think there is a disconnect there that, you know, let's elect younger people, let's elect women and hear the voices in the Capitol pushing back on that.
But it's interesting because, like you said, even when there is the joint finance public hearings and people are there and people are showing up and people are engaged, at least in the ones that have happened so far. So far, it's been Waukesha, Wausau, Minocqua is still coming. And then what's the last one is Eau Claire?
There's four. I think they were in Eau Claire last week.
So they've done three out of four so far. And mm-hmm. from what I've read, the things that are coming through pretty loud and clear is like school funding, childcare, mm-hmm. PFAS yep. and like the thing and like people are showing up. It's not like it's like a mm-hmm. lonely meeting. And so even there, it's like it has to be we're plugging our ears. It's like the Fair Maps meeting that was 9 hours where everyone except Robin Voss testified as far as wanting Fair Maps. And it was just like, la, 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 la. I mean, unless maybe the Joint Finance Committee does listen to them and it comes back and there is something baked into the budget. But so far, there is stuff that you guys could be working on as separate bills outside of the budget to be addressing this, no?
To be addressing the child care piece?
Yeah.
I would say that those conversations are happening. I've had them across the aisle even this week. I think the question is whether or not there is the will to get it done. So first of all, it's, you know, like, are we going to work on this? And I think there's people who really do want to. And then there's the will. Then it's like, well, how? Like, how are we going to solve this? And then is there the will to really get it done? And I think the question is, like, right now, I think there's people who want to work on it on both sides of the aisle. I think we can find some agreement on the how, like how to get it done. And then the question is the will there? Is the will there to get it through?
All right, we're going to continue the conversation on the other side of the break. Our guest is Representative Robin Vining. Stay tuned. This is As Goes Wisconsin. Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinere, and we are talking to Representative Robin Vining about some of the bills that are getting voted on next week, and then potentially some of the bills that are actually what people are asking for that could maybe have some bipartisan support and move forward. And so we were saying specifically on childcare that there is at least some conversations across the aisle being had that talk about the how and the will. And so do you feel like you're making some headway there?
Well, I want to give credit to my colleague, Representative Donna Rosar. We sometimes agree and we sometimes disagree. And I mean, even on this one bill, AB 148, this particular bill, she wrote an amendment that I voted against. She also authored the bill expanding Medicaid for postpartum people from childbirth. Right now, you have 60 days of coverage, and she's expanding it to 12 months. This is something that red states have done, purple states, mm-hmm. blue states. It's been done by almost every state in the country. We are one of the few states left that hasn't enacted this. And Representative Rosar is leading the charge on it. And she had a hearing in the Senate that I hear went so well. It was 3 hours long and full support. So I think I have to double check this, but she mentioned to me she thought she had about 60 co-sponsors on the bill, which means we have the votes.
Oh, wow.
You know, when you're looking at things like suicide increasing amongst postpartum people, like significantly, postpartum deaths going up 40% in 2021, according to recent reports. There was a point in the pandemic, early in the pandemic, that we had seen postpartum depression go up almost 80%. And so when we look at these things, this is all part of health, right? Mental health is part of health. When we look at these things, we know that pregnant people and women are in crisis, and we have a way to help. This has been a proven way to help across the country, and we do have a Republican leading the charge and Democrats partnering right alongside her and support in the Senate. So I would love to see this bill get through this session.
That's really exciting.
I will cheer Donna all the way to the finish line to get this bill across the line.
Well, and it's like it's encouraging to hear that, because it also feels like at times, whether it's paid family leave, maternal health care, there's sometimes that like a pro-choice and a pro-life movement people can be on the same side, because we're like, all right, well, if people are having babies, let's help them. Let's make it not so hard. Because all the things you just listed off, it's like there's just women really got the short end of the stick. When it comes to what our bodies go through in order to create life, it's like, man, that is a long list of stuff to have to deal with.
One would almost say we should get paid a whole lot more, but anyway.
Oh, yes.
Or like, you know, like close the gap.
Or just the same. Well, actually, and that's, I wanted to point that out. there was a report this week that shows overwhelmingly that more and more women are making the same as their husbands now, but they're still doing most of the work at home. And so in straight couples that there is starting to be between couples pay parity, but that doesn't, it's not changing the workload at the house. And so when we talk about who ends up leaving their job and who is not in the workforce right now because of the priorities for the family, it leaves people out of the workforce that otherwise want to be working. And it's just, I don't know where else they think these people, to go back to the conversation around cutting unemployment and cutting Medicaid. And it's like, where are these people going to come from? Because I understand that when you look at the unemployment, some people want to point to the labor participatory rate, which I guess I maybe just don't understand as far as, it's people who can't work. Like, there's just people who are like, it's not people who are choose, like, that's not measuring people who could work and aren't, is it?
Well, you said something just a minute ago that I wanted to respond to. I think, like, when we're looking at this long list of bills attacking unemployment on Tuesday and the working poor, there's an assumption being made about people that they don't want to work. That's the underlying bit here. And that is an unfair assumption. Mm-hmm. And I think people really deserve to be stood up for and spoken up for on that. And I want to do that now. I think there are lots of barriers to working. Women see these barriers in ways that men don't. Again, more women's voices in the Capitol will help explain this more regularly. Yeah, lack of access to childcare disproportionately affects women being able to work. It does not mean that they are choosing not to work. It means that there's too many barriers to do it.
Yeah.
And I can tell you, working from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. is really hard because you're still existing the rest of the day. And so I had to work. We had to figure it out. My husband lost his job. We had to figure out a way to survive. And I think that's what everybody's doing. They're figuring out ways to survive right now. They're figuring out ways to parent. They're figuring out ways to have, you know, the best possible scenario for their family. And the assumptions made that people are just choosing not to work are terribly unfair.
844-967-2789. You can always call or text. Representative Vining, texter from the 414, asks if there is a website that lists upcoming votes on legislation so the members of the public can contact their lawmakers on these measures.
We usually find out about a week in advance. I couldn't tell you. I get it in my email. my office is always available to my constituents if anyone's ever wondering. And we try and tell our constituents on a regular basis. Sorry, that's not very helpful.
So to end on a high note, I guess, there's the maternal health care bill that you're looking forward to.
Yeah.
Is there anything else as far as stuff that bills that you're working on, you know, things that feel like you're kind of like making some headway and conversations are being had and it feels like there's some energy or momentum behind? Anything that's kind of making you feel good these days?
Well, the voices that I'm hearing, the advocacy that I'm hearing, reading student letters, it breaks my heart and makes me feel great about the next generation, because I know that they're going to show up and they're going to fight in ways that we need them to. I'm really excited. The governor has, in his proposed budget, has my universal changing stations tax credit. So if you are a small business who would build a universal changing station, so a changing station for people with disabilities who are adult size, and for public restrooms, you can get a tax credit, which is, it's very easy. The way it's written is very easy. And so that makes the world more accessible, which I think is something that we need to be continually pushing for. And so I feel like that's making progress. We've always had bipartisan support on that bill.
Nice.
And so that's exciting. And I'm also real excited about these Milwaukee Bucks.
Yes. Go Bucks. Bucks and six. All right. Representative Robin Vining, thank you for coming on today. Thank you for your work. And we'll talk to you soon.
All right, thank you.
All right, we're taking a break for the top of the hour news. And when we come back, let's talk about Earth Day. What have you done to change your habits? This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Thank you for listening to As Goes Wisconsin, available on Spotify, Apple, Google, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Please subscribe and leave us a rating. As Goes Wisconsin is a product of Civic Media and airs live across Wisconsin Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Civic Media is a statewide network of radio stations broadcasting local news, local sports, thoughtful commentary, and hand-picked music. We are always streaming on the Civic Media app. Find out where you can listen on the air or learn more about Civic Media and sponsorship opportunities by going to our website, civicmedia.us. We thank you for listening.